Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Turn to Joshua chapter 20. Joshua and chapter 20. Trust that God will bless as I preach on the mercy of God this morning and the cities of refuge. Use that as a kind of a catalyst for what I believe God would have me to preach. This was kind of on my heart 3 weeks ago. And then I heard a song during some revival meetings, and it was a song about the cities of refuge. I thought, man, I got to preach that. And the Lord, God, if you just let me preach it, I'll preach it. And it happened this week, and I think I'm settled on it. I know I'm settled on it, and I trust that God is going to bless every way possible. People are looking for answers. Some of us are looking for answers in the wrong places. I don't know if you heard the story before or not about the man that was fed up with life and disillusioned, and so he just kind of threw his hands in the air and he decided to join a monastery. And it was a pretty rigid monastery. And he went to the head of the monastery, I guess he was a monk, and said, I'd like to join. He said, listen, this is a hard monastery. You're allowed to speak after you take your oath, your vow, 2 words every 10 years. Just 2 words. He said, I'm in. I'm fed up with the world. And so he went through that first 10 years and he had his opportunity to speak and he said 2 words. He stood up and looked at the head man and said, food, bad. And I just kind of, okay, that's it. Another 10 years, a long 10 years, and he got to the end of the 10 years, and he stood up in front of the authorities and said 2 more words. He said, bed, hard. And went back to his service, and another 10 years go by, and he finally gets up at the end of the 10 years and says these 2 words, I quit. To which his leader said, that's fine, just take off. You've been doing nothing but complaining for 30 years. And the truth is, a lot of us are looking for answers. I'm talking about even born-again people. Looking for answers in the world, in the wrong places. What I want to do this morning is I want to give you some Bible. Are you ready for Bible this morning? Are you ready for the Word of God? I want to give you something that'll help you in your life. And by the way, if you're following along with us in our Bible reading, you're gonna finish the book of Genesis this week. Glory to God. And then we're gonna move into Exodus and Leviticus, and we're gonna do it in short order, and I'll announce that next week. But just kind of get through the week. I think it's through Saturday night this week. We'll stay together, we'll allow God to bless and lead us together as a church. Joshua chapter 20. Joshua and chapter 20. Pastor Josh read a verse out of Genesis in chapter 9 and verse 6 about capital punishment. Whosoever sheds man's blood by the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image. Go to Exodus and chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Hold your hand here because we're going to spend all our time pretty much in Joshua. But Exodus chapter 20, if you turn there real quick, verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Go over to chapter 21 of Exodus, verse 12. He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. Now before I read verse 13, I want you to know this. The law of God, I'm talking about the Old Testament law. If you were here in Sunday school, you got all the background to this, is hard. It's raw. It's hard-edged. There's right and there's wrong. That's it. And when you do wrong, there are consequences. That's hard. And the law is our schoolmaster, our tutor. It teaches us of salvation. It teaches us that we need a Savior. It teaches us that we're not really too much on ourselves. In fact, we've made a big mess of this world. For some of us, we've made a big mess of our lives. I had a man talk to me this week, and these were his words. Not exactly, but he used these exact words. Not necessarily in this order. He said, Pastor, my marriage is a mess. We have just agreed to live together. My children are drunks. My finances are not in order. And to top it all off, I'm going to face God. I thought, man, that sounds pretty hopeless. And life is hopeless without Christ. Go back to Genesis or Exodus chapter 21, verse 13. I'll read verse 12 again. He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. God has provided a way out, even in the area of murder. That's extreme. You and I know that. Although the Bible does say, and Jesus teaches, that if you hate your brother, you've murdered them in your heart. But I want you to know there's a way out. Go to Exodus. I'm sorry, Joshua and chapter 20. I keep trying to stay in Exodus, but Joshua and chapter 20. Cities of refuge. I'll give you some explanation here as we work our way through it. Let me start out by saying this. I have a rock. I have a refuge. I have a tower of strength. There is a city that I run to, and I run to him often. And you'll notice I use the pronoun him. His name is Jesus. Even in the hard-edged Old Testament law, the Old Testament economy, God provided a way for those to be protected that were involved in accidental killings. They're referred to as the six cities of refuge. These six cities were situated there in the land of God's people, and these six cities had two to the north, two in the middle, and two to the south. Three on either side of the River Jordan. They were always close by. There was a city that one could run to find refuge. Oh, and there's a lot in this. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time in the cities themselves and explaining it, but look at Joshua and chapter 20, verse 1. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge. Wherefore I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. Like I instructed Moses, Joshua, you make six cities of refuge. I tell you again, there's a city I run to often. He's a wonderful God. It's a wonderful city. It's a fortress. It's a place of safety. I go there and my wounds get mended. He's that real to me. He's the God of heaven who loves sinners. So God says to Joshua, now I want you to follow the instructions I gave Moses. And I want you to pick out six cities, and we'll call these cities of refuge. Verse 3, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. It's a place to run. It's a place of safety. Anyone who accidentally took the life of another, there was a place for them to go. Jesus goes far beyond that, by the way. Many times in my life, I've sinned on purpose. Many times in my life, I chose the world instead of Christ. And that city of refuge is still available to me. Man, we're in the New Testament now. It's good news. The Bible teaches us what the law could not do, Jesus did. The law could not get a sinner to heaven, but Jesus does. The law could not wash away sin, but Jesus does. You understand that the law couldn't do it because I'm a sinner and I can't attain. I can't keep the law. Fundamental Baptist Church isn't everything it ought to be. You've got to know that. You know why that is? Because the several hundred people that come to Fundamental Baptist Church, even those that are born again, are still sinners. But sinners saved by grace. And you know, sometimes it's one step forward and two steps back. I'm telling you that as the pastor. I know that. This family gets it together, this family falls off the mark. This family gets it together, this person falls off the mark. This one gets close to Jesus, this one starts to stray. It's a never-ending kind of thing. We're like sheep. The Bible tells us, Jesus told us that we're like sheep, and it's a process. We are growing in grace. We're becoming more like Jesus. Please, the last thing, I think I preached this last Sunday. I'm gonna say this again right now. Mom and dad have a couple of preachers in their family. They raise some boys that are serving God. Their children are serving God. And this is what I want you to know. Mom and dad were not always close to God. They'll testify to that. There were times in my upbringing where we kind of got away from church. But being genuine born-again people, they always went back. And they took us with them. And in hindsight, we can look back and say, the glory to God, the grace of God. Look what God has done in that individual. Oh, family, look what God's. And I'm telling you what it was. It was a man and a wife who were sinners saved by grace. And they struggled in life, but they never turned their back on God. And we always found our way back to the place God wanted us to be. And God blessed. The long haul, the big picture. Let's go back here to Joshua in chapter 20. Verse 4 says, "And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city and shall declare his cause," there's confession, "in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them and give him a place of safety, a place of refuge, that he may dwell among them. For if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time." Verse 6, "And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled." We have a high priest that died for us. His name is Christ. You've done wrong. You've shamed the name of Christ. You're guilty of sin in your life. Run to the city. Run to the person of Jesus Christ. He's already died for you on Mount Calvary. He's already shed his blood for you that you might have forgiveness and blood atonement and be forgiven. What a wonderful God we serve. Verse 7. "And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron in the mountain of Judah, and on the other side Jordan by Jericho eastward. They assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gath, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh." Now there's a progression here. This is what I want to point out before we get to the best verse in this passage. There's a progression that really is a picture of your life and my life. These six cities of refuge. By the way, I'm going to emphasize it all I can this morning. Everything that is needed for the journey of life is found in the city. It's found in the person of Jesus Christ. You may be at a different spot in the path and the journey and the pilgrimage of life than what your neighbor is. But I'm telling you right now, the best way I know how, this preacher is telling you, Jesus is all you need for that journey. The ways of God as taught in the scripture, the Jesus of the Bible, he's all you need. Run to the city. You get in trouble, run to the city. You mess up, run to the city. Run to the person of Jesus Christ. You fall into a pit that you dug for yourself, and everything's, you know, your kids, just echoing that man, he's not here this morning. You have no idea who he is. I was shocked. He didn't come to this church. I thought all his ducks were in a row. He's a religious man. He said, "My family's a mess. My kids are drunks. My wife and I, we just agree to live under the same roof." This is an older guy. He said, "We just agree to stay together. That's it. My finances are not in order." He said, "And the worst thing of it all is I am going to one day stand before God as the head of my household and give an account." And I want to tell him this morning, if he's listening to the radio, run to the city. Amen. Run to the refuge. Run to that person, Jesus Christ, that fortress city, that place of safety, that one that will bind up your wounds, the one that will strengthen you and feed you. He's near you. There's a city nearby, six cities there in the land of God's people. Jesus is always near. He's only a prayer away. You need to understand that. The first city, and they appointed Kadesh in Galilee on Mount Naphtali. Kadesh means holy. It means righteous. It's the city of salvation. The nearness of Christ. Christ is just a prayer away. God has raised up New Testament local churches strategically so people can reach them that are searching for the truth. And I'll say this again, anybody listening to the radio broadcast or people, I met a man this last week, this man, I listen to you on the radio all the time, someday I'm going to show up. Listen, you need to come to the city of refuge. Not that Fundamental Baptist Church is that city, but it's a New Testament local church. And not that it's a perfect local church, it is not, but we have a perfect Savior. And we are fed from the Word of God every service at Fundamental Baptist Church. It'll make a difference, and you'll find people that'll love you just the way you are. And you'll find a Savior that'll take you just as you are. You'll change. He'll make you something different. And that's where it's tough in a church, by the way. Sometimes you expect people to be further along than what they are. And perhaps they should be. And then there are other times people do get further along, but then they fall off the mark and they get away from God and they backslide, and it's disappointing. And it's hard for people not to get negative. Don't get negative about that. Let me preach to the church. Don't get bitter about someone else not walking with Christ. Man, you ought to pray for them. You ought to reach out to them, somehow be a blessing to them. But for the grace of God, there go I. Because you'll have your turn. You'll have your turn. But run to the city. First of all, for salvation. Gospel of John, chapter 3. Turn over there quickly. Gospel of John in chapter 3. Verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever, and I love the word whosoever, Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says in verse 15 of John chapter 3, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. According to Jesus, there's two kinds of people. Those that are born again and those that are not born again. It's really that simple. And you need to get saved. You need to get born again. That first city, the city of Kadesh, is the city of salvation. It's a picture. Jesus is all you need in the journey of life. And the very first thing you need is to be born again. We had four people receive Christ as their Savior last Sunday morning here in our services. Gloriously born again. Testified to it afterwards. Saved. Bought by the blood. That is a wonderful thing. That's just you'll find salvation in Jesus Christ. Go to Joshua and chapter 20 again. And look at verse 7. God, help me to stop referring to Exodus now. All right, we're done with Exodus. We're in Joshua. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in the second city, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim. Shechem, that is a Hebrew word that means strength. It means the shoulder. Sometimes the path is tough. I just read this week that success is an uphill road. You're not going to break any records getting to that place of success. It's uphill every step of the way. The life of the child of God is filled with potholes, filled with valleys and mountains, filled with all kinds of forks in the road. If you're not careful, you can take those forks. And if you've gotten away from God, go back to where you left them. Go back to that fork in the road and get on the right path again. And God will give you strength for the journey. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I don't know what burden you're carrying this morning, but there's the mercy of God. There is a city. There is the person of Jesus Christ, a city of refuge. And whatever your calling is, God will enable you. The great apostle Paul himself said, I thank God who hath enabled me, calling me into the ministry. Verse 7, the third city, the city of Hebron, speaks of full fellowship. The journey of life, salvation. After you're born again, strength for the journey. And then fellowship, security. This keeps me going when I get tired. Say, Pastor, do pastors ever get tired and disillusioned? Yes, good-looking young pastors get tired and disillusioned from time to time. Sometimes when I pillow my head, it's with a heart that's heavy with burden. Sometimes in my prayer list, I am no great man of God, but I got a prayer list. And I made a promise to God, and I'm doing it. And I haven't missed it. I pray for every one of you, if you're a member of Fundamental Baptist Church, by name every day, every morning, by name. The youngest kid to the oldest old person in the church. Sometimes when I breathe your name at the throne, I grieve. Sometimes I'm encouraged. We're all on that same journey, but we better care for one another. There's security in Christ. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians in chapter 1. Boy, this encourages me. Well, there's so much in the Bible that encourages us, but to know I'm in Christ, Verse 13. And whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. You know what Paul is saying to the church at Ephesus? That day of your salvation, you're in. And you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. God put his mark on your soul, and you belong to him. And the devil can't have you. Look at chapter 4 and verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And grieve not, and we do that a lot, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Why do I grieve the Spirit of God when it's that very Spirit of God, that third person of the Trinity, who has sealed me unto the day of redemption? I have strength for the journey, and I have security in the journey, knowing I belong to God. Go back to Joshua in chapter 20 again, look at verse 8. On the other side of Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben. The word Bezer means, this is my favorite one, I think, stronghold. Stronghold. Life gets tough, but we have a stronghold. You're going to love this psalm. Turn to Psalm 31. Psalm 31 and verse 1. You might want to put a bookmark here until you memorize this psalm and really get it in your heart and in your being. Psalm 31, verse 1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. It's not me. It's never been me. It's Jesus. He's the fortress. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Christ's righteousness. It's not me. It's never been me. It's Jesus. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. I know one thing about a rock. It's hard. When I was growing up, the oldest of the Raider clan, the three Raider families, and the Kredeman family, and it seems like we spent every day growing up playing together. Our parents would go to one another's house, and everybody lived on a farm, and you know there were certain things we'd do at certain places. But one thing we always did was have rock fights. Always. It was the way of the tribe. It's just the way it was. I don't know why. There were teeth that were knocked out. There were all kinds of stitches along the way. There were big goose eggs. I mean, you see a goose egg like that in a kid today, and everybody just panics. It's like, huge, swelled up, just a big bubble. And it just seemed like it was happening all the time. And whenever, because we just wanted to play war. And what's more real than throwing rocks when you play war? We did it from horses. We did it in the barn. We did it in the pasture. We did it in the woods, in the apple orchard, wherever it was. Sometimes we use apples, but it always ended up rocks. And those rocks are hard. And by the way, just a little caveat to that, I'm the oldest of the cousins, and you know who always got the blame? You know who always was first in line for the spankings? Even when I was innocent. Which wasn't very, in fact, I can't recall a single time in all reality. Rocks are hard. Rocks don't change. Jesus does not change. He's immutable. That's a big Bible word. It means he's never going to change. He's my rock. He's not a little rock. He's a big rock. It says here in verse 3, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. And by the way, I'm always getting into trouble. Verse 4, pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me, for thou art my strength. You hear what David's saying? I'm in trouble again. Pull me out, for you are my strength. Verse 5, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. He said, I'm trusting you. My faith is in you, because it is, Psalm 31, it is not about me. It's never been me. It's been Christ. After salvation, I stay born again because it's not about me. If it were about me, I'd be able to lose my salvation. But it's Christ's righteousness. It's thy righteousness. I'm born into God's family. There's salvation. There's strength for the journey. There's security in the journey. And Christ is my stronghold. Look at verse 8. Go back again to Joshua and chapter 20. Joshua and chapter 20. Another city is mentioned. Ramoth. Exalted. I'm a child of the King. In the journey, sometimes we forget that. We get born again. We get saved. Gloriously saved. Saved by grace. Don't deserve it. I repented of my sin. Took Jesus as my Savior. He adopted me into the family of God. Boy, that's wonderful. And then there's strength for the journey of life. Because life is not finished at salvation. It's just beginning at salvation. And it's going to be an eternal life from here on out. But temporarily, I'm still in this fleshly body in which I have. Sinner, saved by grace. God knew that. He understands our frame, that we're but dust. And he provides strength for every step of the journey. Every step of the journey. Jillian was out there at the adult date night last night at the camp, and it was a good time together, but she had all her kids. Well, not all the kids. Clay was out fishing with his dad, but she had her kids, and they were just, you know, hugging on her and making all kinds of noise, and it was just free time. It was a good time. And I told her, I said, Jillian, I don't envy those days. I said, I'm glad I had them, but I'm also glad I'm through them and I don't have to relive it, you know, because it's tough raising kids. It is. It's a heavy, sometimes we forget the burden and the cross that must be borne. You know, it's a difficult time, but there's strength. There's strength in the person of Jesus. And after that strength, security in Christ, he's our stronghold. And you get born again, you're somebody. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, joint heirs with Christ. A child of the King. Say, I wish I had some robes on today. The robes you wear are the robes of righteousness provided by Christ. And there's coming a day when you'll be at Jesus' feet and you'll have your glorified body. In the meantime, don't forget, there's a great day coming. You're a child of the King, called of God. Run to the city. Say, I'm exhausted. Run to the city. That's where the strength is. Run to the city. That's where he'll mend the wounds. Run to the city. It's a fortress city. That's where protection is. It's a stronghold. He's our rock, our fortress. The last word is golan. It means separated. Interesting word to call a city of refuge. Here's the deal. After you get saved and you have strength for the journey and you have that stronghold and you realize God is there to protect you and your royalty and the best is yet to come and you're to go on struggling, you need to mature as a child of God. And that word golan means separated. We are to be a separated people. Separatist people. That doesn't mean we're weird, but we are to be different than the world and not fleshly. Hence the word for church, ecclesia, called out ones. We're to be altogether different. So as a child of God, don't be satisfied with just salvation. Grow in grace and shine forth Jesus. Let it affect your whole walk. Everything you do and where you go and how you talk, how you smell and what you wear and who you hang out with, it ought to affect everything and reflect Jesus Christ. Strength for the journey. Going through some tough times? Run to the city. I'll tell you again, run to the city of refuge, the person Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.